the meeting in order. This is the culture committee meeting, and today is August 2nd, 2017. Time is 3:14 p.m. This meeting is scheduled to go to 4 p.m. First thing on the agenda is the roll call.
Congresswoman Bethelhead. Congressman Sigrunov.
Here.
Congressman Morris. Speaker Pratt.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Baker.
Here. Next one's prayer. Every part of my country for the soil, and I'm actually be here in Dallas, and we're just going to do the plot for people. You can't be a people without a culture. This is the best on the soil, and the soil is the servant of the people. And all the meetings that we have, we have recent stories that are on fire, and we're with the family company. Company, and the fact that we're meeting, and it's all the same thing. We have two sets of minutes. It's back in April 11th. And the other one is April 4th. This is.
So on page 2 of April 11th, we have a motion to report, and then it was seconded, and then the turnaround was postponed, but assuming that the vote failed, the votes aren't recorded. It says a motion to report, so Shannon and I were making a motion to report it out with a due pass, and it was seconded, but then you turn around and motion to postpone. So I'm asking, do you assume that the vote failed? Or otherwise we have two meetings for what
I'm wondering if you agree upon the motion. I will question the clerk on that and not pause that. I see what happened. So it was a motion to report, then it was postponed. We had the
recess, would you or the clerk probably go back there and talk to you, probably figure out who wins. And it says motion to postpone had a higher ranking precedent than the motion to report, therefore, motion to report dies, therefore it was postponed.
Okay.
But I agree that that time should be a little later because it would have been a little time to discuss and, but.
I will definitely make note of that.
So I move to approve the minutes for April 11, 2017 as presented.
Motion to amend the second. Any discussion? Seeing that, all in favor, say yes.
Yes.
I move to report or to approve the minutes for April 24, 2017.
We have a motion to approve the minutes, is there a second? We have a second from Councilman Tom, any discussion? Seeing that, Councilman Tom, too. Okay, that brings us now to item five on our agenda here. It's consideration of ONCA 17-26, and that can amend ONCA 16-94 to provide a supplemental appropriation for the language and cultural resources division in the amount of $94,123. Which establishes an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Mason. He is here today, and we'd like to hear him present this legislation.
Thank you, committee, to try and enlighten you just a bit. I do have Dr. Hunter with me, and she'll take lead on this in just a moment. But I am presenting this on behalf of executive, and I am aware that the amount of money that's being requested is not tribal money. This is money that's coming from the pipeline company or pipeline entity, and we'll be told all of that in just a moment. So at that point, I will cease and ask Dr. Hunter to step up here and take a seat and be able to acknowledge your questions.
Thank you, Councilman Mason, and welcome to the table here for Dr. Hunter. And thank you for the information on this legislation.
This is exactly the same as when I came before Congress earlier this year. The projected revenues for the year that were low, to my surprise, and we've already once requested an addition to our budget, and we have exceeded that once again, and so we're requesting additional money that has already been realized in our budget, and so we are requesting to use some of that money for contracting, primarily professional fees for contracts. The individuals that are helping us do the tribal monitoring on the Diamond Pipeline. And so that is the primary chunk of this money that we're requesting. The other monies are additional supplies, fuel supplies that we're using, travel for staff to get additional training, and that's pretty much the bulk of it. It's all pretty much centered around the pipeline.
That's what you're seeing again is your expenditures, what you're going to spend that money on, the $94,000. Again, that's from mostly from Diamond Pipeline. That money is already secured, I guess.
Yes.
It's all secured. She's just looking to get approval to spend it. It's not tribal, but she was able to get from the nation, I suppose.
I have a question for you. Is there other money also available in this community that you might need to do?
Oh, no. We're beginning of August, and we will probably bring in potentially another $100,000 before the end of this community.
Of course, if people do.
Yes.
That's not tribal money. What kind of money is it?
This is money that we are receiving from Diamond Pipeline for tribal monitoring that we're doing. We've been doing this for over a year now and have been receiving funds.
Doesn't that have a little problem, right? It's not federal money, though.
It's private money from Diamond Pipeline.
Other revenue, other my eyes.
You can recognize the system. See that, I mean, the chief.
This is semantics, but you are correct. It is tribal money, certainly in the technical sense. Once it comes in as program money, we'll say law says it's tribal money. I understand about that 100%. So I'm just trying to resolve this in terms of, look, we wouldn't be here if it were federal money and she was already spending some federal money.
Well, the thing is, if we didn't spend it here, we could have spent somewhere else.
You're exactly right.
But we support Dr. Hunter and this stuff. And might add, primarily because it helps us in our efforts to get our roots down in this area. In the long run.
Thank you for that.
I have a question for Andrea. It's the 94-123. Do you have any idea of what cover those expenses if you didn't have?
No.
If you don't have any additional funds that would cover?
We have taken each of our lines when we received earlier in the summer. We are always getting ready for the end of the fiscal year. And so we put in all of our line items. We make sure that we've spent what we said we were going to spend. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process of getting all those purchase orders in, and so everything's been tapped.
Okay, so there's no additional funds if you didn't have us to be able to complete this list of expenditures.
Correct.
And then you also said you have another $100,000 possibly coming in before the end of the year. And is that something where you'll need us to appropriate that as well for more monitoring, more roots in Missouri, more whatever, travel?
I would hope that I could come back, but I know it's getting towards the end of the fiscal year, and that might be tight to do.
What would happen to that money?
It would just revert to
general funds.
General funds.
Okay. Okay. Oh,
Why, what did you have a question?
I was just wanting to get this revenue expenditure sheet up so I can take a look at it.
Do you have any questions?
No, just what I was trying to do.
Conklin, Mason, you have your hand.
That was seconds ago and I forgot what I was going to say.
Excuse me, sir.
It's all right.
Maybe wait a minute, I want to speak your fact.
So I had the budget analyst meeting too. So I agree, I would like to take a look at this. Because my question was going to be, how much do they currently have? Like, is the $75,000 needed for the next 2 months? So I wanted to know where they were on professional fees and their revenue and expenditures. And this is where they were as of June 30th. I just wanted to go over this for a minute.
Yeah, Mr. Potts, yeah.
Mr. Chair, to answer the speaker's question specifically, of the $350,900 budgeted, only $98,000 has been spent year to date. Now, there may be encumbrances outside of that that I'm not aware of, or some of the billings that Dr. Hunter may have been speaking about. Currently available would be $252,000 in their budget. So, and then I believe the other line was for travel. I'm not quite sure.
That was travel, professional fees.
Okay.
Supplies.
The way travel's kind of broken up, it's over multiple lines, but you can see the funds are still, essentially, here's your variance column. There are funds available in each of these. Depending on upcoming travel, though, there could need to be something that's there. I'm just not aware of the total amount that's there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, in reviewing this, goes back to my question, is the $75,000 professional fees absolutely necessary? But it's too much? Or is that an amount that can be returned to the nation?
It's money that would be used on the current contractors that we have that are helping us generate this income. It's going towards their contracts to extend them beyond actually the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, so you couldn't take the money for their contract out of the $252,000 that's there left for the next 2 months? But that couldn't happen?
That is actually misleading because we have contracts, we have all of that money secured in current contracts. I'm not sure why it shows that we have that money available because that money has all been allocated to the current contractors that we have.
Okay, so they've been negotiated, they just haven't been realized here.
Mm-hmm. They've already been signed off on by the chief, and the only one that is outstanding is the money for the removal of Sugarloaf Mound, which just went through, we just received the final report of that, and that will take care of the rest of that professional fee.
So why did that meeting, why did they not, because I'm not really trying to understand why they were taking there, or like why that was still setting that up. Because I agree, it is misleading.
I calculated it down to the penny on how much money we would need to make it to the end of the fiscal year, and then what would be needed to go over in the current year that we've got. And I calculated each one of those contracts and figured what it would take to get us to the end and then take us over so that we didn't lose out come October 1 and not have any money that we did not receive the amount of contracting money that we request for the new fiscal year.
So these are contracts you well into for
yes.
Quite some time?
Yes.
Well, over
right
here. Year.
Can absolutely clarify. Chances are, if something's already been submitted, those funds are encumbered. This won't show your encumbrances. This only shows due date pay.
So if they're tied up in encumbrances, it's exactly what it is. And I just, I don't have those records.
Thank you.
Dr. Coleman?
No.
Okay. Just going to discuss it here.
Well, from the treasurer, I guess, would be responsible. He would know. Show that money is obligated already, that's an awful lot of money. For 2 months left.
Mr. Chair, to answer your question, Mr. Chaffin, absolutely, you can request an encumbrance report just to verify that those funds are encumbered. It's just not something that they include on the monthly financials. So that number should be, the calculation that should already be in the computer if those funds are encumbered.
Do you know if that's been done? Are you confident that it falls in?
No, I'm not, because I'm not their accountant, and I'm certainly not the treasurer. But what I think I know about it is this. And $500 concerned. When you see these numbers, everything that comes in as income is not all revenue. There's a set of expenses, just like when you're in a store or a service. There's a set of expenses. She has to pay this going out, and then there's a, you tell me, there's a billing cycle where you build these things up, and then later this money comes back in. So it's constantly cycling. I mean, there could be, if she's expanding the amount of services that she's providing for pay, then she actually needs money to fund the people to perform the service, and then the money comes in on the back. She's shaking her head down, so must have said something, right? That's what I think you're seeing.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying we get it, but we were just asking, has that, his question was, has it been verified? Because we can say that, and we can assume that, but all we can go off of is what we can see as of June 30th. So, but I realize that there probably is expenses in there.
Okay, I'd be happy to step away and request the encumbrance for that line item, if you'd like to look at it.
I think 500 is set for the details.
I don't think that will be necessary.
Okay,
I mean, I'll just make a call and see if they can make it quick.
If you could be there as possible, then we can discuss this. I have a question. What's going on now with the activity there?
Yes, we removed the house from Sugar Hill Canal.
Yeah.
And we are in the process now of stabilizing the surface. Now we got exposed to dirt and it doesn't have any grass on it, so that's what we're working on right now, is getting the saw put down and making sure that we don't lose the erosion that we can do that we just exposed.
And what is the plan for that site? Is there anything?
Well, we have always hoped that we would use this as an educational tool that we educate not only the citizens of St. Louis, but our own tribe about that location and how we're associated with those cultures that are over there, and how important it is to preserve part of the past. So we're using this as an educational tool.
Well, myself, I have not been to that site location, so I don't know if it's like to have a view of the village. Is it going to be a new type of building or something constructed?
Well, we would hope that it's some some point in the future, there is property located around it that could be purchased, that we could interpret as single home. So that would be a really long-range goal. But it does have a beautiful view. It sits right on the Mississippi River, right on the bluff. You can see downtown St. Louis. You can look across the river, and you can see Cahokia off in the distance. So actually, in prehistory, what we have been thinking is that that location is not just by chance, that it was actually used as a signal point, a lookout for tribes that were advancing up the Mississippi, that they could be then signaled from that location over to Cahokia, as they did out in Chaco Canyon. They used the bluffs and the canyons to signal people moving in and out. And so this is something that we hope to examine in the future, if this is really a possibility. Theory.
I like it if you give us a little clear holding so our ancient heritage.
They're working on it. Okay. Cutting it real quick. It's a report that's going to run, so
right.
Hopefully okay. The next couple minutes.
There's going to be a few more minutes for that update from the Treasurer's Office.
So then, Walbert, how do I, when you heard me before the last area, I know I've actually become a couple of other advisors.
Realize that, they've fallen during your sessions, so we're going to try to move
like your
for dates. So we're going to try to move that so you all can participate, because we have had folks come with us in the past.
Encumbrance and all of the variants.
Oh. 66 subtracted from 296?
No, it would essentially be your, the 350 is what's in the budget here. You deduct the total amount for current year actual spent, which is 331.
No, I'm talking about the total of all the dollars.
Yes, it's going to be very close. A lot of it's going to be tucked away in your salaries and wage line item and your employee benefits. Just because you're not going to have paid that out. That's where a lot of that money is going to be. But yes.
So what's the answer? We've got $100,000 left over from the beginning?
Give or take, yes. Right now. I don't have it calculated exactly. But...
So kind of basically you're going to be $1,000 something in that $10,000.
No, I mean right now specifically in professional fees, there's $9,000. It's not, or there is no plan to spend. It doesn't mean it's not going. This will happen until their encumbrance deadline is going to be funds. Without looking at the whole division, that'd be hard to answer. The problem you're going to run into, the money may be there. It's not going to be where they need it in line items. And because it's specific to non-administrative expenses, specifically professional fees, typically that money's not them. You're going to be able to find that money at the top in office supplies and everything else. Generally, your contract fees are spent or have that encumbrance.
Anybody already done that?
Yes. Those budget modifications can go on.
How many for this?
That I don't know. That would be a question more for executive if they looked around in the division. And I don't know.
Please correct.
So, my biggest question was the professional fees for this, the bulk of it, mm-hmm. at the underlying report. So, she's pretty right in saying, you know, it's been encumbered, 224,000 of it was encumbered, so that leaves her with that, and something that she does on a regular basis, that she knows her needs for, as far as that, because then if we look, then the rest of it was IDC, supplies and whatnot, but hardly have office supplies there, and then equipment rental, I don't know what that entails, and the work that they have to do, but I don't want to hold up. Sounds like they need to be the work that they do. I would sort out a little other like to be here. The biggest
that's why you're requesting on computer monitor.
Yeah. What's the school about, you feel about that, so, you work down on the side? That's what I'm wondering about the rest of all.
Okay, but, so while I don't disagree with, you know, the looks good, like, I heard from the manager, like you said, we've done this before, and, you know, we're doing it again, like, how, is this gonna continue to be, I mean, because once it's monitored in the area, or once the cell tower goes up, you know, help me understand if that work is done, so that will be no more at some point, correct?
Yes. We do have another large project, the clean line transmission line, that is getting ready to start up. So that was another reason why I was trying to get the contract, enough money in each of the contractors' lines so that they could transition over as Diamond Pipeline begins, they can move right on into the clean line without a break. Because again, you have to do the work, and then you submit your invoices to the company, and then they reimburse us for the costs that will occur, which includes, you know, they're out on the line, they're in a hotel every day, and for them, the mileage, and then their salary. So, you know, we had to pay that up front when all this started. That came out of just whatever I had in our contract, our professional fees when this started, and it was quite a juggling act to get this started on our money before we started getting the money brought back into the trunk. So we've got another large project on the horizon. The other thing I think I've brought to your attention in the recent past, though, is the potential for the cell tower money to be decreased quite a bit. So I'm very concerned about that. And we are just waiting on Washington to the FCC to make those decisions. So I'm really apprehensive about that cell tower. So we're fortunate that we have these large pipeline and transmission line projects right now to kind of transition us to, I hope, not a future that we have to be relying on private money solely.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you a heads up, that could be coming in the near future.
Right. But as far as, let's say, seeing our projection, why is that? Why do you?
I'm guessing at how much money.
I mean, I realize it's a guess.
I mean, it's a real guess.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I was just wondering, like, you being out there, what is happening to the process or anything?
It all depends on construction timelines and what they're doing on the line and what we're finding. We're finding archaeological sites out there, we're finding burials that we're protecting, and that's changing their construction schedule. So that's why it's changing by segment of the pipeline. And it's all fluctuates on a daily basis what's happening.
Well, Coach, but yeah, we're getting close to the end of our time.
Well,
do you have reports on the tribal monitoring from the archaeologists on pipeline job by job on what they do find?
Every day, yep. I have reports coming in. They send me a daily report every evening when they come off the line.
Whether they've found anything, or they're actually there when they're digging,
yes.
Watching, monitoring, yes. Looking for specific fragments, bones, oil bones, grave sites, projectiles,
yes.
All the above.
I review those every morning, and it's a lot of time. Mm-hmm. We're expending on this.
Once the job is completed and you're using, you, you
have job by job, what they do find and how it's affected the pipeline company and slowed them down or altered theirs or whatever that they do. The other question, do we use the same contract archaeologist from job to job? Is there a turnover in there?
There is a little bit of turnover because they get burned out. I mean, they're out there 10 hours, 12 hours sometimes a day, working at least a minimum of 6 days a week. Then when the pipeline goes to 7 days a week, they're working 24 hours. These people get burned out.
Sure.
So there is some turnover.
And you are making sure that each one of those individuals that go from job to job, they are archaeologists.
Yes. The chief? It's getting more so.
Yes.
Could you also do your report to the couple of the advisory committee?
Yes.
Yes, we have a lot of information on them. So, I need to report on Wednesday, September 6th.
Do you have a moment to take in discussion? Seeing that? If you have? How should we vote?
All of them.
All of them favor.
Yes. Or, yes.
There you have it.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Okay, what have you had? And we can put out the conference. See if we can see if we can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? We'll read here.
Oh, yeah, questions for Darren.
Second.
We are adjourned. That's your committee.